I'm going to jump straight into the Bible. I'm jumping into Luke chapter 3, and I have a brand new Bible this year. My wife bought me a Bible. I told her the one I'd like if someone would buy me a Bible. This is called Thrash Your Bible. It actually says, well, lost a bit out there. I'll pick that up later. TYB, Thrash Your Bible. You can buy these. Some folks at Oxford Falls, C3 Oxford Falls, have created this Bible. Got a huge margins in them, so you can thrash your Bible. I love ruining Bibles. A clean Bible, inappropriate, un-Australian, to leave your Bible clean. Get coffee stains on it, pen marks, all sorts of notes. And you're looking at me like it's sacrilegious to do that to your Bible, but I believe in thrashing a Bible. Anyway, I'll grab all this bits and pieces that I've kept. Well, that's a bit of sticky tape. Don't pick that up. Here we go. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, the tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. My goodness, the gospel is full of history. It's kind of one of the things that helps Christianity be well-founded, is that the story of Jesus is not a myth. It's not a legend. It's founded in history. And these names that come from history give us a reassurance that Jesus was a real man who lived on the planet, died, and as Steve said, was resurrected on the third day. During the high priesthood, in verse 2 of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, and the rough way smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. Here we discover a man who is a standalone man in history. There is no one like John the Baptist in the history of the planet. No other person, man or woman, child or adult, prepared the way for Jesus. And he describes himself out of the words of Isaiah 40, a voice, a voice. I'm sure you've all stood on a hill in a valley and discovered that there's an echo in that valley and yelled out something maybe even silly. Hello, 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 hello. And then you stand there and you go, oh, this is fun. G'day, 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 g'day. Jumping county, jumping county, jumping county, jumping county. And you've all heard an echo. John the Baptist was not an echo. He was a voice. An echo is different to a voice. An echo is an imitation of the real thing. An echo is something that just fades away to nothing. A voice is something that endures. And Jesus, part of his work in your life and my life, is to make us into a voice. He doesn't want each one of us to be an echo, a pale imitation of the real thing, kind of artificial, not really genuine, not really solid. I don't think you and I will ever be a voice of the level of John the Baptist. He's kind of like got the one position in history. No one can ever repeat the coming of Jesus Christ to the planet 2,000 years ago. One man prepared the way. Oh my goodness, what a responsibility. I actually don't want to be a voice like that. But there are standalone voices generationally. You think last year, one of the great men of God who passed away went to heaven, Reinhard Bonnke. Oh my goodness, I heard Reinhard Bonnke preach once in my life. It was actually in our church up at Hepburn Heights. And oh, what an astounding night. He preached for about 40 minutes. I thought he was preaching. He was just telling a story. And then he said, now I am going to preach. He opened up the Bible and he preached for another 30, 45, 50 minutes. I don't know, it was like two sermons in one night. I couldn't sleep that night for 2 or 3 hours, just buzzing with that man's voice, his voice in our heads. There are generational voices like Billy Graham. What a massive influence his voice has had. And I don't think you and I are going to go into that place of being a voice of that stature. But I think you and I can be a voice in our workplace, in our church, in our family, in our friendship circles. And these days, I think it's possible to be a voice to the globe. The internet has opened up all sorts of opportunities for you, for me, to be a voice. And sometimes we can say, well, I don't really kind of think, you know, I've got much to say at all. I think of my wife who came to Christ at 16 from a broken family. The time she came to Christ, my mum had been married twice. Her alcoholic father had died when she was 11. Now my wife is a voice to literally hundreds and thousands of pastors' wives and ministry women around the globe. Who would have thought? Don't limit the Lord for what he can do even through you when you feel, well, I don't know if I've got much to kind of say, John. I don't know if I've got much to share. But God wants to make you a voice and see what the Lord can do with that. See, like Steve was saying, when in our generosity, some ways the Lord repays that generosity as he just goes, oh, I think I'll just give your stuff a little bit of a shove. There you go. Have a boost from me. It's called favor. God says, I'm just going to kind of favor you and boost you. And you never know where God wants to take your voice. Don't listen to that voice inside that say, well, my voice doesn't matter. Your voice does matter. Your voice makes a difference. It's interesting working out what a voice is. A voice is primarily two things. It's breath and it's language. That's what a voice is. It's breath. I'd suffer from asthma when I was a teenager. And asthma, if you've ever had it, it is a horrible feeling of, I'm going to die, is the feeling. And and what you're trying to do is get oxygen into your lungs and you don't feel any going in. And you cannot speak when you have asthma. You're trying to get breath in. You cannot breathe out. It's like, I don't know if you've been winded playing sport. Who's been winded when they've been playing sport? You've been knocked on your back and you kind of roll over and it is a horror. You feel like, oh, I'm going to die here on the footy field. I'm playing here with a couple of mates and I'm... That'll sound good on the recording, won't it? If you listen to the podcast, God bless you. You're winded. You lose your breath. And then a voice is not just breath, it's words. Our latest little grandson, James, Luke and Megan's youngest little boy, he's 13 months old and he is so cute. I mean, all kids are cute. And when they're your grandsons, they're perfect as well. He is perfect in all his ways, little James. He's so cute. And he can't articulate language yet. He can grunt and make sounds and he likes doing a lot. And then if he sees a remote control, it must be a male thing, but he sees a remote control at our house, Di tries to hide them, and he'll see one and he doesn't say anything, he just points at it and goes, at the remote control. Probably, you know, as we grow up as men, we learn how to find them ourselves and use them, but you know, when reduced to primitive ways, we'd probably do a similar thing, just, I need that remote in my hand. But he can't articulate language, so he doesn't have a voice yet. He has breath, but he doesn't have a word. And for you to be a voice that Jesus can use to speak, you need both breath and you need word. And it's the combination of breath and word that makes you a voice and not an echo. When I consider what breath is, I think of the breath of the Spirit of God. The Hebrew word for spirit is translated exactly the same word, wind, breath, air moving. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the empowering of the Holy Spirit that takes who you are and what you have and where you've journeyed and turns that into a voice. One of the things I want you to do this week is to pray this prayer every single day. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Paul said to the Ephesian church, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't just have a one-off Pentecostal baptism of the Spirit experience. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. In fact, just close your eyes where you're sitting. Just close your eyes. Primarily, just to kind of lock everything out that's around about you. Kind of remove all distractions. Just close your eyes. Just sit with the Lord. Then I want you to pray this very simple prayer, not in your mind. I want you to actually pray it out loud. You can whisper it or yell it, go either way. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. You might want to pray it a couple of times. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. It's a simple prayer. It's a prayer that Jesus will answer. Guaranteed, rock solid, gilt edge guaranteed. Jesus will answer this prayer. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. As you sit there, just open your heart afresh, which you've already done during worship and singing and giving and honoring this young couple going to Albany. You've already been opening your heart. Just linger for a little bit. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is a gift. And when you pray that prayer, you just simply wait in his presence like you're doing right now. Holy Spirit's a gift. God doesn't kind of see if you've ticked all the boxes this week. He doesn't kind of do a calculation, or should I, shouldn't I? He's already promised. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit? It's a gift. Just keep sitting in his presence for a bit. It's a long weekend. Just take a breath, relax. Just sit there, allow the Holy Spirit to fill you afresh, baptized afresh, filled afresh. It's as simple as this, church. It's as simple as this. Allowing the Holy Spirit to settle on you, calm you, empower you. See, without the Holy Spirit, we can't be a voice. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't have the breath, the fresh air of heaven. Father, fill us with your Spirit. Fill us right now. Fill us right now. Fill us right now. Lord, it's a gift from you. Fill us with your Spirit. 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 Now, I'll get you to open your eyes again because I can see some of you have just gone away. Just having a nice time with the Lord. Can I ask you this week, for the next 7 days, do this somewhere during each day? If you've got an opportunity on public transport somewhere, just sit there and just quietly. You can yell it out if you like, but I probably wouldn't recommend that. People will give you strange looks. But you just sit there and say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Even while you're driving around, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. When you wake up first thing in the morning, I'm praying that each one of you, when you wake up this week, this morning, that the first thing that'll pop in your brain is, oh yeah, I'm going to pray right now. Lord, fill me with you. Imagine getting filled with the Holy Spirit before you get out of bed. And then you can have a coffee to really kickstart the day. Holy Spirit and coffee, whew, you'll be ready to rock and roll for the day. Maybe as you lie down in your bed tonight, last thing before you go to sleep is, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Imagine begin to pray that two or three times during the day. You know what you're doing? You're giving yourself the opportunity to be empowered to be a voice. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're filled with love, with joy, with peace, with gentleness, with kindness, with long-suffering, with faith, with wisdom, with knowledge. And I could almost finish the sermon right now and just go home. I feel so peaceful. Anyone else just feeling peace and rest? It's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. But you also need a word to be a voice. In Luke 3:2, it says that during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The word of God came to John in the wilderness. There are a number of ways for the word of God to enter into our lives. And I just want to focus a bit on this one way this morning. There's multiple ways that the scriptures and the word of God and the voice of God can enter into us. But I want to focus in on one element of how this can work in our lives. I'm going to jump over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Oh, here we go. Trying to find verses in a brand new Bible. Oh, how long since you bought a brand new Bible? It's so good breaking it in, isn't it? When you turn over the page. Look, I haven't thrashed these pages yet. I'm working my way through. On every page, I'm writing something. Actually, I'll tell you something that I'm actually doing in my Bible. I'm writing all my notes in my Bible this year, not all my notes, but some of my notes. You know who I'm thinking of when I'm writing and scribbling through this Bible over the next couple of years? It'll take me about 2 years to do it. I'm thinking of my daughter, Erin. So through the margins, I'm writing little prayers. I'm praying for Erin. I write little stories about how a verse has impacted me over the years. In 2 years' time, I'm going to sit down with Erin and give her this Bible. And it'll be my gift to her. In fact, I'm not going to do it in 2 years. I'm going to do it for my son, Luke, then my son-in-law, Scott, and then Megan, my daughter-in-law. It's going to probably take me about a decade to do four Bibles, and I'm going to present them to each one of them all the way through. They'll see my prayers and my thoughts and my little ideas and little scriptures and story. Isn't that a great idea? I didn't think of it. I read someone last year did it, and I thought, I'm doing that. There you go. If you want to do something for your kids, do that. Then I'm going to start on my grandsons. I reckon it'll take me until like mid-80s to get it all done. But imagine getting a Bible from your granddad where all the notes are written for you. Who would have liked that? I didn't get one like that, but I'm going to do that. And you can ask me in 20 years' time how I went with that. Got to have a long-term plan, folks. Anyway, that was a whole big rabbit trail. Apologies for that. But feel free to be inspired by it and do it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness. The word of God came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, or 40 days would have been nice, 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let's unpack a little bit of truth that's in these scriptures for you and I, that one of the ways that we come a voice is not only through the empowering breathing of the Holy Spirit upon us, it's also through the Word of God that comes to us and lodges in us through the wilderness. Now, there's multiple ways for the Word of God to lodge in us and dwell in us and become a part of us, that when we speak, it's a part of who we are and part of our voice. But this wilderness way is interesting. Verse 2, I'll read it again. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness. Do you know that God at times will lead you into a wilderness? I can tell you're very excited with that extremely uplifting thought as we enter the new year. God will lead you into a wilderness, but he was not doing it because he's nasty or vicious or vengeful. He has a purpose. He led you all the way into wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart. The Lord will lead you into a wilderness because a wilderness is a lack of the comforts that you're used to, the comforts of your life, the comforts of your family, the comforts of your friends, the various comforts you've got. God will lead you into a place that is uncomfortable so you will discover who you really are. You'll discover what's in you. You'll discover what you can cope with. You'll discover your capacity. You'll discover who God is in the middle of that wilderness. You'll discover his capacity, his bigness. Can I give you a word of encouragement? Never waste your wilderness. When you have a season of your life that is dry, that is difficult, that is a wilderness, enter into it and say, okay, Lord, I'm not enjoying this. I like my creature comforts. I prefer to live a comfortable life than a difficult life. I think everyone on the planet prefers that, unless you're a psychopath. I find generally I just want to live a comfortable life. But I find God says, no, you're not on this planet just to live a comfortable life, John. You're on the planet to be a voice. There's a purpose I have you in my kingdom, and there are times I will lead you into the wilderness to humble you, to make you recognize your limitations, your boundaries, what you can and you can't do. Verse 3, he humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, causing you to eat things you didn't really want to eat, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that you might learn out of the wilderness that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In 2018, with Grow a Healthy Church, the ministry that Di and I have been now running for 8 years next month, it's 8 years since we launched Grow a Healthy Church, and 2018 was a real difficult year for our ministry. Pretty well every year I'll do 15 to 20 on-site four-day consultations with churches. It's the primary way that we do our ministry and all that aspect of it. 2018 was the leanest year we've had. We did 9 consults. To give you an idea, this year I'm already booked for 17. I'll probably do 20 consultations this year in Australia and overseas. In 2018, I struggled to get to 9, the lowest ever. And during 2018, I was listening to a podcast, and this leader said on the podcast, he says, when you're going through a time when things are not working, when things seem to be going backwards, he said, you've got to work out whether it's a whole thing of decline in your organization or church or group or business, or whether it's a pruning. He said, the only way to tell is to wait for the next season. I thought, ooh, that's scary. Are we on the decline with Grow a Healthy Church? Have we run our race? Is it finishing? Is it about to be over? Or is it a pruning? I thought, I won't know until 2019. I won't know whether I'm pruned or whether I'm declined. This was a difficult year for us financially, time-wise, ministry-wise. Doors seemed to be slamming in our face. And as we went through that year and into 2019, we had a bumpy year last year. So during last year, I thought, woohoo, I got pruned, not declined, not failing, not finishing, not collapsing, not wearing out and finishing up. I actually got pruned. And you know what has lodged into my heart through those couple of years? Is that God has to prune when you're fruitful to make you more fruitful. And the number of pastors and leaders I've shared that word with, that, hey, maybe you're in a pruning season. God's cutting you back for a reason. Lean into the season. Maximize the wilderness so that when the season turns, you can maximize the fruitfulness. Are you in a wilderness at the moment? Is there a part of your life, whether it's family or business or workplace, church life, that just feels like, oh man, this is tough? My wise counsel to you would be, is God is working in your wilderness to put a word into your life that you will use as a voice. Lean into your wilderness. Don't be like the children of Israel and moan and grumble and grizzle and complain about how hard it is. Lean into Jesus. This is why that prayer, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, is so important, especially when you're in a wilderness. To survive a wilderness, you need the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And as he walks you through that wilderness, you will come out the other side, pruned, cleaned, shifted and shaped in a different way. And God will have put a word in your life because he wants to make you a voice. And this voice can work in all sorts of different ways. It can work in very, very simple ways. Yesterday, we went down the marina. It was such a beautiful day yesterday. Glorious long weekend. Down the marina with our kids and our grandsons. And we're down the Hillary's Marina. And there's a beautiful kind of lovely water area that's really good for kids to swim in. And there's a little pontoon out there. And Jack, my 9-year-old grandson, said, oh, Granddad, let's swim out to the pontoon. And I said, okay, Jack. I looked out and thought, okay, it's been a while since I swam out that far, but I think we'll be okay. There's other people around here to rescue me. My son-in-law, Scott, he threw Jack's little brother, 6-year-old brother, on his back and swam out with Reese hanging onto his back. Luke grabbed Archer, who's 3 years old, and swam out holding onto Archer all the way. I mean, my grandfather's heart was going, oh, good grief, I wouldn't be doing that. He's 3 years old, but Luke doesn't care. He's just out there with his son. He's fine and everything. We get out on the pontoon. I haven't done this for ages. I did bombies off the pontoon. So good. There's a little slide on it. You climb up on the top of the ladder. Don't worry about the slide. That's for kids. We're doing huge bombies. We must be at least 2 meters off the ground. I mean, this is huge. we're having fun, and then there's a little moment on the pontoon. It's just Jack and I. I just say to him, I love you, Jack. He looks at me and he's nine. He's starting to edge into that next hormonal stage. And he just kind of, he wouldn't look at me. He just went, oh, I love you. I thought, I'll take that any day. You know what I am there? I'm a voice. My grandsons, my kids hear it from me all the time. I love you. When they give it back to you, yeah? Children give it back to me easily, but when your nine-year-old grandson gives it back to you, it's like, oh. Do you know what it does? It actually feeds the voice within me. Keep saying it, John. Say it more. Say it regularly. Say it with strength. Say it with care. Say it often. Say it in different ways. You can be a powerful voice into your family. Powerful voice into your family. In your workplace, who needs your voice in your workplace? Who needs you feeding into their world? I'm in a small business Facebook group from these guys in England, and it's all about online business. And I've kind of joined this group last year, and I met these guys at a conference in England last year, and it's just a pretty cool group because everyone's quite engaged in the group. It's kind of a lot of banter goes on and everything. And I'm the church guy in the group. No one else is a church person in the group that I know of. There's no other guy doing consulting, coaching. They're all kind of social media and other sorts of business of products and services. But I am in that group just regularly pouring in some encouragement. I love when someone puts up, hey, I got this win. And I pour in and say, hey, that's awesome. Congratulations. You know what I'm doing in that group? I'm being a voice, and I, in that group, over a number of years, are going to influence a bundle of them with the gospel. It's phenomenal today of the reach of your voice. Some of you want to write a book. Some of you have got in you, I'd love to write a book. In fact, I think the majority of people want to write a book. At some time in their life, they think, oh, I would just love to write a book. Can I give you some advice? Don't write a book. Winston Churchill says, a book starts out as a lover and ends up as a tyrant. Don't write a book. Do this. Write a blog. You think, oh, I'd like to write a book. Don't write a book. Just write a blog. And over 12 months, you'll end up with a book, but it'll be called a blog. And if you want to turn it into a book, you can. Simple. Easy. You can actually publish a book today for next to no cost. You can publish a blog today for zero cost, just your time. And today, the opportunity to be a voice. Some of you have something inside you that the world needs in a significant, far-reaching way. And again, because I'm an older guy, I'm not old. I'm very careful how I use that word, old. Because I'm an older guy, one of the beauties of grey hair and length of days is it does give you a perspective that youth, you never get it when you're young. See, the truth is that some of you in a younger generation, and I'm talking about anyone under 50 here, under 55, you have the opportunity to achieve significant, amazing things over the course of your years. Don't diminish or dismiss how God can use you in a significant, powerful way. And all you need is breath and a word, and your voice can go places that you have never dreamed of. Why don't you close your eyes? Let me pray for you as I close. I thank you for John the Baptist, Father, a miracle baby. Mum and Dad couldn't have a child, and he was born through miraculous intervention. John the Baptist, filled with the Spirit, even in his mother's womb, and who knew what would become of him, and yet here we are 2,000 years later talking about him. Lord, we never can underestimate what you do with someone who has the breath of heaven upon them, who has a word within them, who hasn't wasted their wilderness. They've lent into their wilderness. They've extracted everything from it. and it's become a word to others. I thank you for everyone in this room, because everyone in this room has capacity, potential to be an important, valuable, significant voice in their family, in their workplace, in their business, in their school, in their university, in their TAFE. So, Father, I'm praying again for them. Father, fill them with your Spirit. Fill them with your Spirit. Lord, I'm praying for those who are in a wilderness right now, that they won't waste that wilderness. They'll lean upon you. They'll discover your provision, that your capacity is far greater than theirs, and that in this wilderness, Lord, that you've led them in to humble them, you are putting your word within them. I'm praying for those who want to write a book, Lord, that you would help them to launch a blog. They'll begin to write and write and write and ultimately publish. Let that seed and that word for people who need to hear it today, let it drop into their spirit and their heart, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you today.